This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie. What's happening?
Hi. Oh, just got my emotional support, Dr. Pepper. Cream soda, zero sugar. Sponsor us, please. I'm a corporate chill for Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yep. Goose is here too. She wants everyone to know she is real. She exists. I'll be like so honest. I like normally rush through our intros because I assumed people didn't like long intros.
I've always assumed that too, just from comment sections online. Not ours, but like other.
Just in general. So I always kept it quick. But then we got a lot of messages about the banter in the beginning of our last episode. And I was like, oh my God, people like us.
Twirls hair.
Kicks legs up. So I feel like we should be like chit-chatting. Hey, hello.
A little bit more. Yeah.
A little more just because I don't have anything to offer at all.
What a great like way to segue into nothing.
I have nothing to give, but I'm here to try.
I'm also trying to think of something. Oh, well, you know what? I feel like maybe should we give like hints about like what the Halloween episode is going to be, or like hints at like where we're going to be recording stuff? Because we are, I feel like we mentioned once that we're going to be doing.
I feel like that's a hint within itself, is it not? Where are we going to be recording stuff?
Oh, yeah. Where in the world will we be?
Mm-hmm. Because normally I think people would just assume that we're just recording in our typical spots, me at home and you at home.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually, I would say starting this week, you never know where Ash and I will be recording from.
I didn't even think about that for next week. Yes! Oh.
So we have some things coming up, some things in store, and
we're seeing Hozier next weekend.
We are.
I'm so excited. We're going to Philly and we're staying overnight in a hotel. We're having a real good weekend,
having a girls trip with our other favorite girl, our long time
very long time friend from high school is going to be with us. We've talked about her before. It's our friend Anne. She lives down in Alabama right now, so she's driving up to Pennsylvania, and I am conveniently, Dan took his PTO this week without even talking to me about it, or not this week, next week, took the week off for next week. And I went, you just solved my problem of how I'm gonna get to Pennsylvania, because we only have one car and usually they need it for work on my days off. And I was like, I don't know what magic force had to happen to make you pick that week to take your fucking PTO, but I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Dan.
Truly came together.
Best He's gonna possible. Drive me out on Wednesday night to go to Pennsylvania to Katie's, and then on Friday we're all going to see Hozier. Not all of us, just the three of us. No. Dan's going back home.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Girls weekend. So we're going to see Hozier. I'm so fucking excited.
So excited.
And then on that Sunday, I'm seeing Hozier again.
Oh, yeah, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I have to go to a festival. I'm going to Sound on Sound, if any of you are going, in Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, to help my friend who has like a music festival blog. I'm getting press passes. I'm really excited. But
Friend of the pod.
Hozier is playing that Sunday, too, in the lineup. So is Alanis Morissette, which I'm excited to see. But the night is ended with John Mayer, and to my friend who's going with me, I was like, yeah, we can leave before that. First of all, it's gonna be late. Second of all, fuck John Mayer. So I was like, we're leaving before that.
Yeah. Speaking of mediocre dudes, Fucking Joe Jonas is such a piece of shit. And I just want to go on record saying that.
This is a Sophie Turner household. This is Queen of the North. I didn't even get that far in Game of Thrones, but Queen of the North, bitch.
This always has been a Stark household. I have a post on my Facebook that pops up on my memories every year because we used to host the Bronze, is what we called our house. We used to host Game of Thrones watching parties. We would like put up silly Facebook statuses, and one of them for the premiere literally was, "You are welcome at House Bronze only if you raise your flags for the Queen of the North. Like if you recognize the false King Joffrey, like fuck off."
Fucking Joffrey.
Always. Always have been a Sophie Turner household and always fucking will be. Fuck Joe Jonas.
Two nights in a row of Sophie and Taylor stepping out in the city. I'm here for it.
Did you see the video of Joe Jonas just fucking wasted on the Today Show?
No.
Or the Tonight Show?
No.
Oh my God. I saw. Okay, I'll send it to you on TikTok. We'll probably repost it on our... So drunk on the Tonight Show, which, like, shocking. Jimmy Fallon, also problematic. Wow. Mediocre men, am I right? Yeah, so fuck Joe Jonas. Lots of stuff going on with celebrities.
It's been a crazy press cycle for celebs right now. They are just fucking up left and right.
Yeah. Speaking of, I don't know how many listeners we have in the UK. If we do, if you're hearing this, UK listeners, I've been trying to find a way to watch the Russell Brand documentary that Channel 4 recently released, but because I am in the US, I can't. We don't have access to it, and I would like to watch it. So if you could help a pal out, point me into the direction of a way that I can do that, that would be great. Thank you.
He's always been a fucking skeevy, creepy-ass predatory dude. And should not be shocked by any of this. Disgusted by it, absolutely. He's fucking trash. Anyways, husband. I said to Katie, I was like, the first time I saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I was like, this fucking guy is not acting. He's just a fucking creep.
Yeah, like, that's just him. Very similarly, on the other end of the spectrum of actors, male actors who, like, are exactly what they portray in their characters, Michael Cera. Michael Cera can't act. That's exactly who he is. It's just, you know, he's a dork, whereas Russell Brand, he can't act. He's just a fucking creepy predator, like the character he plays.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Goose is having a hell of a time today, and it's not even really her fault.
Honestly, I'm having a hell of a time, y'all. I am, like, so at my fucking wit's end.
Someday, very, very soon, Katie will actually be able to, like, fully announce the exciting thing that's going on in her life, but also has been a very stressful thing. And once that time comes, Goose is not gonna be set off so much by noises anymore.
Yeah, thank you for ending it that way, because I was like, wow, if she just stops here, it could sound like I was pregnant. Which... Never. Never. Do you hear that, family? Mike's extended family? Do you hear me? Never.
I'd like to make myself abundantly clear here.
I don't ever want to have to repeat myself. Never, ever will I have a pregnancy announcement. Ever.
Honestly, the announcement that you're actually going to give is way cooler than that.
Oh my God, it's way better, and I wish it was that I was getting a puppy. Oh, no,
wait,
I don't.
Wait, before we go into what the topic is, I just need to, I had this conversation with Selena earlier. I'm craving having a pet, but my bank account can't afford a dog. Convince me not to get a beta fish.
Okay. The thing is to, like, really do a beta fish right, yes, you have to get a big tank.
Okay.
And those are expensive.
There's a chance that I have one at my parents' house in their basement from when I used to have a turtle. There's a chance.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if I can find it the next time I go there.
Okay. Yep. Well, then I can't convince you not to get a beta fish.
Well, if they have that tank.
If they have that tank.
I'm coming home with a fish. I'm craving. I need something to take care of. I need something to fill some of the voids in my time. And I can't afford another dog right now. And I feel like Dan could also use something to take care of as well. The house is too empty.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And if I can do
something to say hello to.
Yeah. Oh, I miss animal affection. And I think that take fish goose. Can be affectionate. Take goose.
I'm okay. I love her, but I'm okay.
I just so went through real. That.
It's so real.
My bank account can't handle her.
Dude, you don't have to pay anything for her.
She's covered.
She's covered.
She's covered because she's not actually mine.
What are they going to do? Fire me?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so I think you all just heard that I'm probably going to get myself a fish.
Is there no chance? No chance at all of it being a lizard?
You know, it is so funny that you said that because now wait for it, because I want everyone else to hear this straight from Selena's mouth.
I think you should do one better and get like, I don't know, like a cute little hamster or like some sort of lizard that can live in like a plant environment. I don't know. I always feel like taking care of a pet is like super good for your mental health. So I 100% want you to get at least a fish, but I think you can do better.
I'm 100% with her. Absolutely get a lizard.
If you have the big tank, you may as well.
Yeah, I'm also not going to tell her that I just played this on here and I want to let her hear it.
I don't know if that's legal.
What is she going to do? Make Dan divorce me?
What's she going to sue? Sue us.
Sue us? With what money?
For what?
All of us are broke. The Coast Guard doesn't pay her nearly enough.
You know what, Selena, if you want to sue us, you can have Goose.
It's fine. Yeah, you can have Goose. It'd be great with your husky.
All right, I guess we should get to the episode. Maybe that was too much banter. You guys were like, we like your banter. And I was like, okay, I won't shut up for 20 minutes then.
You're like, cool, I'll raise the bar.
I know, no middle ground.
No, no. As most of you may know at this point, I am a licensed cosmetologist. I worked in salons for close to a decade before my ankle injury, and even though I'm not working in that industry anymore, I do still love like so many aspects of hair care and the ways in which we can use hair for different types of things like making wigs and stuff. But today, I want to focus on a way that hair is being used for the good of the environment. Ooh. Get some hair environmental justice here.
Sweet. How?
You're like, where are we going with this?
What?
You're gonna learn today. Some of you may have heard about this stuff already, but if not, we're gonna be talking about the use of hair booms. You're probably like, what the fuck is a hair boom?
You're talking about the bump it?
No, but one time I wore that out in college to a club and it was like burn every photo of that night because it was awful. That's what I get for going to college on Staten Island for a semester.
Can we include a picture of the Bump It ad on our Instagram for this episode, please? Just for the youngins who don't know what we're talking about.
For shits and giggles. Before I get into what a hair boom is specifically, I want to tell you a little bit about why letting our hair just accumulate in trash heaps at the dump is detrimental to the environment. While human hair is definitely biodegradable, it does take a long time to decompose, and that is because of the keratin that your hair is made out of. It is specifically designed to withstand the elements and time once it has grown out of your follicles. Side note, I've always found the term dead ends to be silly when people talk about their dry split ends, because once hair grows out of your follicles, it is dead. If it was live hair, it would have nerve endings and it would be painful to cut. So there's split ends at the bottom, but your hair is dead. All of it's dead. Yeah. The time frame can vary depending on factors such as chemical treatments and the method of disposition, whether it is damp or dry, what kind of container or bag it was thrown away in. Most of the time when hair has been cut or cleaned out of brushes, it's swept up and thrown away, and it's usually thrown out in plastic bags. When that hair in the plastic bags begins to decompose in landfills, it creates methane gas. Why is that negative for the environment? From the Environmental Defense Fund. Quote, methane has more than 80 times the warming power of carbon dioxide over the first 20 years after it reaches the atmosphere. Even though carbon dioxide has a longer lasting effect, methane sets the pace for warming in the near term. At least 25% of today's global warming is driven by methane from human actions, end quote. And while methane from hair may be a much smaller portion of that, we cannot ignore the effect that it has on the environment. Especially when you think about it, think about the amount of hair. The amount of hair. How long have we been doing haircuts and shit? The amount of hair that's in landfills. It's a lot of salons.
It's a lot. Of salons, a lot of hair getting cut every day. Like, it's not like this is just something that happens like once a week. This is like all day, every day.
What is being done now with hair that is collected from some salons is it's being turned into a method of cleaning up oil spills. Back in 2019 at the salon that I worked for, we decided as a team that we wanted to be better with recycling our hair waste, foils, plastic, leftover chemicals, and we decided to join the company Green Circle Salons. What they did is they provided us with separate containers, and I know you've been to the salons, so you've seen what I'm talking about. Different containers that were like cardboard boxes with recyclable bags. Each one was labeled for like plastic, metal, chemical waste, things like that. They were a Canadian company, so once a month we would ship our waste to their facility, where they then sort through everything and each individual bag, just to make sure that like nothing got accidentally tossed into like a bag it wasn't supposed to. They want to make sure that everything is recycled and upcycled properly. There are multiple ways that hair clippings are upcycled and recycled by their company specifically. They either compost it with other organic waste, they can turn it into a biocomposite plastic that makes items such as recycling bins. It's used in research for environmental technology such as insulation or stormwater filtration. And then it's also made into products for humanitarian efforts such as the hair booms to clean up oil spills. Let's talk about what exactly a hair boom is. There are different names for them, but when we learned about it for the first time, the phrasing that I was taught was that they were hair booms, but they can also be referred to as hair mats. One of the most standard ways of cleaning up oil spills has been by using mats made of polypropylene, which is a non-biodegradable plastic. So using that to clean up oil spills means that we're digging for more oil to make the plastic. Certain organizations such as Green Circle Salons and Matter of Trust, to name a couple, have tried to find alternatives that are safer for the environment. Because like, what the fuck? We're trying to clean up oil spills, but we're gonna dig for more oil to fucking make this plastic.
We're gonna potentially cause more oil spills to make plastic so that we can clean up the oil spills.
If nothing, that is so fucking American, it like makes my brain hurt.
Yes, it really is.
That's where the hair booms come in. Hair booms kind of look like a stuffed sausage link, like an oversized stuffed sausage link. Just to get Katie's face. Just to give like a mental image for y'all. But the hair...
Didn't want it. I didn't want that mental image.
Might have needed it, didn't want it. The hair clippings are stuffed into these long nylon tubes. It's kind of like stockings. And a little bit over 2 pounds or 1 kilogram, for anyone not in America, of human hair can absorb up to just over 2 gallons or 8 liters of oil, which is essentially like 5 times the hair's weight in oil. With the amount of hair that is cut by the mass amount of hair salons across the globe, hair booms are an extremely effective method of soaking up oil spills. I mean, like, think about how many salons there are. That's so much hair.
That is so much hair. That, I mean, it's incredible. The reason I was making my laughing face just a few seconds ago was because the first thing that I think of when I think of hair shoved into nylon stockings is like some serial killer shit. That's not... So you said that, and now all of a sudden I'm thinking of the killer from Hannibal at the end with just...
Oh my god.
It's like, oh no. Oh no, Katie, focus. Get out of this mental image. much.
You're so funny.
When you go back and edit this, you're going to see the exact moment that that image popped into my face.
I can't wait. I can't really give you a specific amount of oil that has been cleaned up using this method, as there are many companies at this point that create hair booms and hair mats. It would kind of be like impossible to give you an exact amount because of that. But the method itself has been around since the 1980s. Lisa Gauthier co-founded the San Francisco-based organization Matter of Trust with her partner Patrice Gauthier in 1998 with the aim of tackling a range of environmental issues. 3 years later, they teamed up with hairstylist Philip McRory after an oil tanker ran ashore on San Cristobal Island, part of the Galapagos, wanting to help with the cleanup efforts. Back in 1989, Philip had designed a hair boom prototype, which was then tested by NASA and was found to work effectively. Together, Matter of Trust and Philip worked together to produce these hair booms and mats to be used in cleaning up oil spills.
Damn.
I love that these people were like, we're environmental activists. Let's team up with a hairstylist and figure out this fucking problem.
The first person who was like, you know what can just soak up fucking anything? Hair.
Like, we see it all the time.
Or it's just like, have you ever tried to wash oil out of a fucking kid's hair? I swear to God, it takes on like 5 times its weight. You know, like, who discovered that? They're right.
They're right. From CNN, quote, according to Lisa Gauthier, Matter of Trust has produced over 300,000 booms and more than 40,000 hair mats for major cleanups. The mats look a little bit different than the hair booms. They actually kind of look like oversized, like doormat. It's literally got that square rectangle shape.
Made of human hair.
Made of human hair. All this is used to clean up like major oil spills, including the 2010 BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Holy shit.
We were using hair for that shit. And a bunch of other like non-emergency spills as well. Everything from decontaminating storm drains to soaking up oil from leaking vehicles and machinery. You know, obviously not like a fucking detriment to the environment, but definitely should be cleaned up.
Absolutely.
That's an incredible amount from just one organization alone. There are several that make these hair booms and hair mats. And if you like what you're hearing and you're thinking, I want my hair to go towards a cleaner future for all of us, then I'll be adding into the show notes different companies who are connected to salons that donate their hair clippings to this worthy cause. These organizations and companies have search lists on their website so that you can find them. It's either by area or by like state. So you can find salons in your area that are participating in this kind of recycling and upcycling. I know once we started doing it and my salon was like on the main street of a very walkable town, and there's a lot of other hair salons there too. Once we started doing that, several others in the area started doing it afterwards too. And I think sometimes the beauty industry can be a little bit toxic with competition, but it was so wonderful to see other salons also joining in on this and like contributing to something that is going to help the environment. Like, that's not competition. That's camaraderie across the beauty industry.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that more and more salons join. And when you go to like the Green Circle salon, you can see the count that has gone up of how many salons have joined their ranks. When I worked there, we would get like emails at work every month that was like, hey, welcome these new salons who have joined this month. And it was like so exciting to see that list and like see where they were.
That's so cool. I love that.
And for people just getting their hair cut, just by going to a salon that has that kind of system set up, you're kind of like passively helping the environment a little bit.
Yeah, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So I know this one was a shorter episode, but I have something that I wanted to dedicate a little bit more time to for next week. So I figured, hey, let's talk about something that I already kind of know about, that I'm passionate about, and that can hopefully help people make some better choices or different choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we talked enough in the beginning that it's going to be the length of a regular episode.
We're at like 35 minutes right now.
They're fine. And if you're looking for more bonus content or you just didn't get enough of us this week, there's always our Patreon, which has bonus episodes, after chats, all that fun stuff. Did you see what I just did there? That was like a real fucking podcaster.
Wow, look at you. So wow. Official.
Listen to that segue.
As if we haven't been doing this for 3 fucking years.
We love you all, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2K podcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2K podcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2K podcast. Or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.